Namaste. We are back after a long break. We moved to Florida, hence the cause for the break. Today, I just want to talk about three aspects of Almighty God. Some people say God is a neutral gender. No, God is the ultimate male Purusha. No, God is female. My goddess. God is black. God is white. God is colored. God is a golden white light. What if he told you that all of that is God and more? All of that is divine and more. Why can't they be all of that? Why do we think God is just such a simple thing? We cannot even imagine what the Almighty is. Why do we think my God is superior than yours, or your God is not as good as mine? Or if you join my group, hey, are we in kindergarten? If you join my group, then you'd be better off because my God is better than your God. Well, I want to start by talking to Pandit Atul, and there's a little recording of him from a class he did about talking of three aspects of the divine. Listen to it, and then you break it down further.
Who is Brahman? Brahman is the unlimited, almighty divine in the aspect of being all-powerful. Brahman is neither masculine nor feminine, because this is the not personal form of the divine. It's the effulgent and all-powerful form of the divine. You know, when people talk about the divine as being, the white light, the effulgent, this is Brahman. Another aspect of the divine is Paramatma. Paramatma is the omniscient and omnipresent aspect of the divine. Who is present within the heart of every being? That is Paramatma. Then Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the personal aspect of the divine. This is the divine as a supreme personality, as the maintainer, controller, protector, the reservoir of bliss or ananda.
Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajgyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shadayate. This is from the holy textbook Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is a very basic fundamental knowledge that all transcendentalists, that all people who have studied the Vedas, they know that God exists both as male and female. If he is manifesting as Shiva, then his Shakti or power is manifesting as Parvati. They're essentially the same person, but they are coming both as male and female. As Ram, she's Sita. As Narayan, there is Lakshmi. As Krishna, there is Radharani. So in the Sanatana Dharma, in the Vedic religion, there is no god or goddess. They are one and the same, but they eternally reside separately for the purpose of pastimes, for the purpose of what we call Leela. And God is sometimes manifesting himself both as male and the female, different colors. As Sri Ram, he is dark in color with a light green tinge. As Krishna, he's Shyama Varna. Shyama Varna means he's color of dark clouds. And in his goddess form, Radha or Lakshmi, he's golden colored complexion of fair. And I don't want to use the word white because it's not pure white, but as Vamana. So one of the incarnations of Lord Hari is Vamana. And he's described, he's very gora. He's very golden white. White complexion with gold hair. So he is, I guess for a lack of a better word, he's a blonde. So this particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam says that the divine is always at the same time existing both as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. At the same time is male and female. At the same time he's manifesting in many, 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 many unlimited forms. There's a very famous show coming on Sony TV right now. It's called Srimad Ramayana. It's really, really good. And the writers are talking, oh, how can two incarnations or avatara of lords come on earth at the same time? Are you kidding? Is he so unlimited that he can only have two avataras at the same time? Avatara means not avatar. Avatara means incarnation. God can have unlimited avatar in the same place. Are you going to stop him? Are you going to say, oh, I'm a human and I can only judge you by my own, you know, limited intelligence? Very, very, we are bird brains. You know, we are not even bird brains. We are like ant brains. brain compared to God and you know, his intelligence, goddess and her intelligence. Divine is always situated as Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagawan. He manifests in different colors. Sometimes he's golden, sometimes he's white, sometimes he's dark greenish, sometimes dark blue, sometimes he's black. He is all of that and more. Why do we need to say, you know, we take one aspect of that divine and we worship it, but there is no need to say who is superior, inferior. Is the same person who's manifesting in so many forms. He is unlimited and we cannot even imagine. So people who are seeing that white light or golden light, are they wrong? Of course not. Because there is a white light, there is a golden light. And that golden light in Sanskrit is called Brahmana. Then in the atom, in every entity, in virus, in bacteria, in animals, in birds, in all the creatures of the sea, humans, all of us, in our hearts, if you have a heart that beats, then the Lord is present in all of our hearts in a very small, minute way. It is said it's present in our hearts the size of a thumb. And that is called the Paramatma aspect. And Bhagavan is the personal aspect where, you know, God has a form and he's beautiful or she's beautiful and, you know, gorgeous. Cannot even imagine the beauty. But they're all the same. Your God and my God and her God and his God and everything, all of that is, God is they. Not just he or she is they.
So Pandit Atul, namaste. I wanted to ask you, since time immemorial, people have always fought about my God versus your God, our group versus your group. My God is superior than your God. And we have a God-given right to do this because God told us. Why does this happen? Why is there problems based on differences of religion and, you know, we take it to war? Why do we do that as a, you know, humanity? So if you would answer, you know, philosophically.
Namaste, Manjulali. That's an excellent question. So really what people are fighting about is not what is the divine, but what is their conception. And one very important thing that we learn from Vedic scriptures is that there are different conceptions of the divine, and they are all equally relevant. We know the famous parable about the 10 blind men who went to see an elephant, and one said, this is a rope, another said, it's a snake, another said, it's a tree, another said, it's a wall, and they all had a different idea, but they were talking about the same thing. So when we talk about the divine, people will have different concepts to start with, and then you have different traditions that get started. And when someone gets entrenched in a tradition, then it becomes all about the tradition and not as much about finding the divine.
So it is like they wrap up the idea of divine in their own conception, and then they add all these rituals and so on to it, and suddenly a group of people are, you know, part of that clique. And it's like a clique mentality, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. It becomes a social construct of its own. There are elaborate social constructs that people make around religion. Some of them are relatively benign and harmless, and others tend to be more exclusionary, to say, well, these people are non-believers and we can treat them worse than we treat our believers.
So what you're saying is, you know, all of us, for some, you know, there is a patriarchal divine. For some, there is a matriarchal divine. But of course, in Sanatana Dharma, in Vedic, every time God exists as male, you know, there is his Shakti female with him. And he has unlimited forms. He's not just that one person sitting in the sky with a beard and saying, I'm going to judge you now because I'm God. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, so I think that's an excellent point. A lot of the problems that people who think of themselves as forward-thinking, rational, and progressive, they often have a problem with what they think of as traditional religion, because most of the Abrahamic religions that people are familiar with, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, They are rather patriarchal in nature because of the social constructs and milieus in which they evolved. And that is, itself kind of a problem, but that has also led people to say, look, I don't want to have anything to do with organized religion. It's all just, it's all patriarchy. It's all very benefiting certain types of people and giving a disadvantage to others.
So in the beginning, I played a clip in which you're talking about three aspects of God according to Sanatana Dharma. There is the Bhagavan or personal form of divine. There is Paramatma as divine who is in everyone's heart. And the third one is?
Paramatma, the localized aspect, and Brahman.
So Brahman. So most of the religions who do not believe in what they call Budparasti, do not believe in that we should have a form, are actually worshipping the Brahman aspect of the Lord. But I had a question about the Paramatma aspect. We know that in jivas, pranis, all the living entities, whether it is animals living on the land or on the sky or in water, in their heart, the heart that is beating in humans, there is a form of divine. My question is, what about at the cellular level? In plants, what about at the cellular level? Is divine there in the cellular level also?
Yes, that is stated very clearly, that the divine is permeating all aspects of this existence down to the atomic level. Now, there is a special form of Paramatma who exists sitting on the same branch of the tree of the body, and that branch is called the heart. Mm. This is described in Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
There are two birds sitting on the branch. This is also in Upanishads.
Yeah.
One bird is trying to enjoy the fruits of the tree, and they are stretching out and squawking and flapping their wings and all the stuff that we do to try to be happy in this world. The other bird is sitting there very quietly, very patiently, and with love, waiting. When will this other bird turn to me?
Right.
That is Paramatma.
But that isn't human, right?
That is in all species. But in other species of, animals, birds, insects, plants, creepers, Paramatma is having to be very patient because the consciousness is covered. But Paramatma has been there throughout, and Paramatma is there to remind us, hey, you once were a king, you once were someone sweeping the street, you once were a dog, you once were a cow, you once were an elephant. None of this brought you happiness.
So let me go back, and you said in atomic particles, Paramatma is present. So that God particle, so is the God particle Paramatma then?
Well, God particle is a name, it's a designation given to the Higgs boson to try to explain a unifying, because physics has been trying to pursue a unifying understanding of the universe and how it works.
Right.
So really, that's just a designation. I think that there are many aspects. Science is all about observation, measurement, and observable phenomena. And philosophy is about those things which are not observed, but which can be inferred.
Yeah.
And my favorite classic question, when someone says, no, I don't believe in something I can't see and I can't measure, I ask them, do you believe in love? Because you can't see love,
yeah.
You can't measure love, but you can feel the effect of love.
So in conclusion, with this podcast about the three aspects of God, and God is all genders, all colors, he, she, they are present everywhere. They can take unlimited avatars, even down to Adam. And it's the same divine that we are all worshiping. All of us, it's the same, it's just a different aspect, because all of us, there is no my God, your God. He's all, he, she, they are all pervasive beyond us, in front of us. And, you know, we can't imagine how unlimited the divine is. Would that be a correct conclusion?
Yes, I think it would. Basically, and I also want to circle back to something you said earlier. In the iconoclastic religions, the Abrahamic religions are all iconoclastic. There's a statement that Jesus once made, no man has seen the face of God. And actually, we accept that as true. No mundane man, no person living in the concept of I, me, mine, ahankar, ego, bodily existence, has seen the face of God, because God is a divine existence beyond our senses, beyond our conception and all of our ideas of how things should be. And when we try to make up an idea of what the divine should be, that's where we get into trouble. So experiencing the divine, we can read accounts of saints who have had divine experiences, divine revelations, but it's something that is a different level of existence. So yes, this is all about the divine in different aspects. And it's only when we try to superimpose our ideas of how God should be, and whether they are male or female, or, you know, an old man with a white beard sitting on a throne and casting down judgment and saying, you are condemned to a lake of fire for eternity,
goodness gracious.
Then, you know, that is where we start having trouble.
Yes. All right. That actually, that condemning for all eternity versus Naraka is something that we will focus on our next episode. Thank you, Pandit Atul.
Thank you.